With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stadium. Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 28th of August 2017. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's pod, Olivier Giroud reflects on his goals for the Gunners. We also take on the letter L in the A to Z of Arsenal. And the brilliant Adrian Clarke is back for this week's Brain of Arsenal as well. But let's kick off by looking back on another trip to Anfield to forget with our weekend review.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, I'm really pleased to say that our Arsenal insider this week is the Mirror's John Cross. Crossy, it was another pretty humbling defeat, unfortunately, for the Gunners. So good morning to you. And not the best, shall we safely say.
No. I would think it's a very disappointing place to be, really, to be an Arsenal fan this weekend. Poor the performance. I don't think anyone really expected that sort of heavy nature of defeat. It's always a tough game when you go to Anfield, but I think the nature of the defeat really has shocked people and it sort of hurt fans, understandably so.
And I suppose, John, one of the key things already is to not let this really kind of linger on and bleed through any further. There is now an international break to try and draw a line under it, but it's not going to be easy, that, is it?
No, it's not. I think it's sometimes better if you do actually have that game, immediately afterwards. Players always talk about kind of wanting to get straight back at it and kind of take out your frustrations on the pitch and then take it into the next game, where I think it's obviously difficult this time. It seems like a long time to wait before Bournemouth. So that's going to be difficult. Maybe the players will have some time to stew in it. I think some of them have been sort of vocal on social media, haven't they? Sort of offering up apologies for the performance and disappointing nature of the result. But really, that has to come out on the pitch. I think what everyone saw is a difficult start, really. Leicester at home, Stoke away. I think the Stoke away defeat was unlucky. I don't think there's so much you can say about that. But Liverpool was really tough. So Arsenal really have to get back at it to kind of turn their season around quite quickly.
Let's hear a little bit from the boss, Arsene Wenger, speaking post-match on where he feels the game went so badly wrong.
Everything. I think from the first to the last minute, we were not the delivery requested for such a game. And nor physically, nor technically, nor mentally, we were at the level and we're punished. And that's basically it. After, you can, of course, be analyze the chances we gave away, but just think of all, the performance was not at the requested level.
And it's almost a combination, isn't it, of some individual problems and some that are maybe more structural and formation-based, plus one or two personnel quandaries as well. There's a lot of little different things maybe that need improvement.
There are. I do still think the back three is something. It almost feels like a work in progress. Have you got the right players to do that? I like the system very much. When it clicks, it appeared to. But then I guess it's balancing sort of it elsewhere, isn't it? I mean, do you play Giroud up front? Do you play Lacazette? Who supports him? I have felt that obviously Sanchez perhaps not at the peak of his powers yet after coming back from injury. The midfield two is going to come under the microscope quite a lot, Xhaka and Ramsey. Maybe sometimes you need to sort of change it up. And people, I think, look at the sort of the best 11 on paper, and sometimes the best 11 in your mindset on paper isn't always the best combination for the team in which it works well. So I do think if you're going to persevere with the back three and that formation, then maybe you need to have a look, little look again about the players who are actually there.
We've seen certain games against the other biggest clubs in the league. You think of the FA Cup, City, Chelsea, where Arsenal have got it right. But for some reason, there are other big games where it just goes horribly awry. I just wonder what we try and even put that down to.
Well, I do think that the running last season, and particularly finishing with the FA Cup final, maybe just, I wouldn't say papered over the cracks, because I think to be on a run as long as that, and sort of, I think, 10 wins out of 11, just shows the side's resilience and quality. But I do think that basically, I think it's easier to do that perhaps when you sort of kind of not under so much pressure at the time, and they went on this amazing run and that momentum. I think this season they have been tested already. New faces, I guess, and Lacazette and Kolasinac. I think Kolasinac, probably disappointed not to have started, because he looks a real worry, and I'm sure that he'll come back into things in the Arsenal defence. I also think it's really important that Arsenal perhaps kind of get this window shut. Let's see who's still there, if anyone goes, if anyone comes in. And I can understand why some Premier League managers want that window shut before the season starts, because I do still think there's a degree of uncertainty in amongst the squad and the players.
John, we'll go into this in more detail with Adrian Clarke a bit later in the show, but it is a critical week ahead, isn't it? We've got the Europa League campaign starting soon, the return of the Premier League in that Bournemouth game you mentioned, and who's in, who's out, and how they shape up is going to be absolutely critical.
Absolutely. I think Arsene Wenger has been very vocal, hasn't he, publicly, on wanting to keep all the players who perhaps have got 1 year left on their contracts, that Sanchez and Oxlade-Chamberlain, Ozil. But sometimes, I guess, there will be some juggling, and I still think there might be some ins and outs. It'll be interesting to see where they can kind of tweak it a little bit and remove that uncertainty and bring some players in. But it's so important to get a bit of momentum going, to win against Bournemouth, certainly to get something out of the Chelsea game, to change the mood around. Because the last thing you want to do is kind of have sort of a long period of negativity, which is obviously affecting the team's confidence and performances.
John, appreciate your time, and thank you very much for coming back on as our Arsenal insider, and hopefully we'll join you in happier circumstances a bit later in the season.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Russ.
You're listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, French striker Olivier Giroud, one goal away from 100 for the Arsenal. He's been speaking to Arsenal.com's Rob Kelly about some of his favourites so far.
Olivier, we've got to ask you about your favourite Arsenal goals now. There's only one place to start. We know where it's going to be, that scorpion kick. Just talk us through that, and how much do you watch that back now?
No, to be honest, I didn't watch it for a few months now. For me, it's a part of the past, even if, it's going to be obviously my best goal, but I like to remember the ones which helped the team to win a game, and even more in the last minutes, like you said. The Leicester one was a very important one, because the first game of the season we needed this win at home and to keep the confidence high, And I was very glad to help the team to win this game. And yeah, obviously I try to... Every single goal is very important, but some of them are even more important because of the scenario of the game. So yeah, I always try to... It's always nice to score a nice winner one.
Do you ever score a goal like that and just look back at the replays and think, I don't know how I did that?
Scorpion kick. Yeah, obviously something from the sky helped me, if I can say. And I believe in God. I'm very religious, so I think God helped me a lot on this one. And the balance and the fact that I wanted to do it, it's not. It's not all about luck, but obviously there is a big part of luck, and you have to try it to make it real.
Another goal that Arsenal fans will always remember is the winner that you scored against Tottenham in, I think it was your second season at home at the Emirates, the near post flick. How much did that goal mean to you?
Yeah, it was my first London derby, or one of the first, and at the Emirates, and Theo was on the right side. He crossed an early cross from the right, and I tried to put it in the net, but it was very quick, and I have more confidence in my left foot, so I took it from the outside, and yeah, it was a great feeling because I could measure how big was it for the fans, and obviously for us in the dressing room, and yeah, it was one of my best moments, definitely, yeah.
What other goals would stick out in your mind? You know, we've got some great ones, West Ham, Everton, a volley at Crystal Palace, you know, there's so many.
I do like, the one when I came in against Man United a couple of years ago. It was a hard game for us, and I came in and I scored top corner, and at the end of the game they told me, yeah, very nice one, but it was not enough, we lost the game, so I was not fully happy after this one, but there is some nice technique one, like in a technique way, a bit hard to realise, and yeah, there is the West Ham one, Palace, as you said, but it's always nice when you do the right gestural to put it back of the net, yeah.
I was looking at your stats over the last few seasons. Everton away, about two seasons ago, you scored a last-minute equaliser. Man United away, an equaliser. Bournemouth away, a last-minute equaliser. West Brom, a late winner. Leicester at home, a late winner. What is it about you and late goals?
Always... One of my strengths is maybe my mental strength, you know, and I always keep the faith and believe that we need to fight until the last minute, and that's something I really believe in, and never give up, and it's never finished, you know, so that's why I always keep the focus, you know, high, and keep the head cool, and try to put it back of the net when I have the opportunity. Yeah.
The A Machado! To Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit them. Oh,
and
we go! Per Capistan Pires. Pires towards Henry.
For this week's A to Z of Arsenal, we explore the letter L. L is for Lacazette, Arsenal's new record signing, who took just 100 seconds to open his Arsenal account on the opening weekend of the season.
Toward Hector Bellerin, then on Lenny, and Lacazette! What a start! Alex Lacazette, inside the only 1 minute 40 seconds, has put the Gunners in front here against Leicester. A sensational start to Alex Lacazette's career.
L is also for the team that the Gunners paid that record transfer fee to for Alex's services, Lyon.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The last time the two teams met was the 2015 Emirates Cup, a 6-0 victory for Arsenal, with Alex Iwobi introducing himself to the Emirates faithful.
Come again, and here he is, Oxlade-Chamberlain. This time it's to Ozil. Ramsey, through to Iwobi. He's taken that one really well, as Alex Iwobi. His first senior goal for the Gunners. And a really well-taken one at that.
The two teams, Arsenal and Lyon, also met in the 2001 Champions League. And that season, another L, Laurent, was in his debut campaign. He'd signed from Mallorca in 2000 and made an instant impact on his full debut against Liverpool.
It's towards Laurent. Goalkeeper in trouble, Adams. Laurent again. And finally it is it. Westervelt flapped at it. And Laurent gleefully smashed it home. On his wrong foot too.
In total, Laurent played 159 times for the Arsenal, becoming an invincible in 2004.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
So Adrian Clark joins me as ever, and Clarkie. Good morning. I say good morning.
It isn't really good morning, is it? I'm not feeling happy. It was a miserable afternoon at Anfield, wasn't it? I guess we should probably just draw a line under it now.
We move on. We move on to the question on the chalkboard today. What would you like to see happen by transfer deadline day? What would you like to see coming?
Well, I think it'd be very, very interesting to see what happens in terms of the departures. I know that Arsene Wenger, it appears that he's looking to offload a few members of the squad that need football, to be perfectly honest. The squad is a little bit bloated at the moment. Too many players of first team quality are nowhere near the first team. So I think they need to be shipped out either on loan or some will go on a permanent basis. Yeah, in terms of incomings, goodness, I think centre-half has to be a priority. I really do. I've been saying this since the end of last season, really. Whether Arsenal stick with three at the back or four, I just feel that we can strengthen that department. We don't quite know how many games we'll get out of Laurent Koscielny this season with his ongoing injury issues. And, you know, Rob Holding's a young guy, Pierre Mertesacker at the other end of the spectrum. I do think we can upgrade in that particular area. Also in central midfield, I think it's vital, really, that we get somebody in there to help out the guys, because we've been very, very open in that particular department. So an engine room specialist, someone who knows how to really be disciplined and defend, and also a centre-half.
Hopefully it will happen. Do you think it will? This is the other issue, I suppose. It's all well and good highlighting who should go and come, but actually making it happen between now and Thursday can be another issue entirely.
It can, and it all feels like it's a little bit last minute, I guess. We've seen this before, and some of the players that have been brought in at the death in previous years have gone on to do okay, actually. Not every player has been a success story, but there have been a few. I remember Mikel Arteta, Per Mertesacker has been a good servant as well. He came in at the death. So we'll have to wait and see. I think Arsene Wenger, I'm sure, would have liked to have done more business earlier on in the summer. No question about that. But it is what it is. And the targets that Arsenal have clearly been chasing haven't come off. And everybody behind the scenes, it's now down to them. The ball is in their court. No more matches between now and the end of the transfer window. All the focus can be on these business dealings. I would like to see at least three new faces come in, and I would expect to see four or five go out.
OK, Clarkie, let's move on then to, as things stand, what do you think is actually Arsenal's best formation and what 11 would you put into it?
Goodness, it is really tricky. And I think this is part of this is at the crux of the problems Arsenal have got at the moment, is what is the best 11? I don't think anybody can be completely sure. And if you look at United, Chelsea, even Liverpool, Spurs, you could name their best 11, and I think most people would agree. I wouldn't necessarily ditch the three at the back formation. I don't really think the two defeats have been down to the formation. I think it's been down to decision-making of the players. What I think has been a problem is in central midfield. The two of Ramsey and Xhaka are both great players, but they've left too many holes in the heart of that pitch. So either you need to change one of those players, bring in someone a bit more disciplined, someone more defensive, or you add a third body. Now, I would be interested in doing that. To be perfectly honest, I think a 4-3-1-2 formation is something that we haven't really seen from Arsenal, and I'd like to see it try.
Could be a bit narrow, couldn't it, unless the fullbacks bomb on.
Well, the fullbacks always bomb on for Arsenal. So, and you've got front players that will drift out wide. You've got Mesut Ozil, if he's the one in behind, let's, for supposition's sake, Lacazette and Alexis Sanchez, if he's in behind them, then he will drift into wide areas. I just feel at the moment a three-man engine room could help Arsenal moving forwards because we're just too open there. Stoke found big holes and Liverpool found even more pockets of space. So that's something that the team really needs to work on.
Three at the back, perhaps better at home? I don't know. Could there be almost a division there?
Look, three at the back worked fine at the end of the last season. It was, players were concentrating, they were showing discipline. They were making the right decisions. I think whether it's a back three or a back four, it's almost irrelevant as long as the players, the defensive players, are keeping to their positions and are focusing on their job. And I think discipline is the key word. And it's been, unfortunately, it's been lacking in recent days. If you stick with the three at the back, then why not look at a 3-5-2? We've seen that with various teams at the start of this Premier League season. I think we can tinker a little bit. We can tinker as much as we like. The bottom line is it comes down to the attitude and the decision-making of the players, and that's what's got to improve.
OK, Clarkie, appreciate your thoughts on that. High time we locked horns once again with the return of Brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
Liam Roberts, the Arsenal Weekly Podcast editor, joins us on the show. Liam, I'll ask how your bank holiday was. Probably like Clarkie, a bit down in the mouth.
Morning, fellas. Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one, wasn't it, yesterday? But hopefully the international break will now, it'll be better in a couple of weeks.
We will see. Of course, Clarkie and I have been locking horns the last couple of weeks in our new little head-to-head quiz.
Yeah, so last week, heroics by both of you, getting 4 out of 4 for your chosen Arsenal specialist subject. Russ, you're on to your third week answering questions on Mark Overard, so... I think last week was a little bit too easy. So
Mark's going to take out a restraining order if he gets maximum points again this week. Yeah,
Liam's also changed the rules, I've noticed.
Yeah, we're going deep this week.
Apparently it's no longer just certain sources, it's anything goes, which worries me.
Oh dear, okay. Anyway. Too late
there's
then.
Only so much, there's only so much Wikipedia pages on Mark Overmars, so that's going deeper now. And Adrian, you'll be on your second week on Perry Grove. Yep. So. Yes, so last week, Adrian, I think you chose if you wanted to go first or second. Was that right?
No, I think Russ chose. Russ chose to go first. I'll go first. Let's put a bit of pressure on, hopefully.
Famous last words. Okay, so standing by, here's your 4 questions on Perry Groves, starting now. Perry has a famous uncle who captained Arsenal in the 1950s. What is his name?
It is Vic Groves.
Indeed, 1 out of 1. Question 2, how much did Southampton sign Perry for from Arsenal?
Oh, that's a good question. It rings a bell, £750,000, but I may be way off the mark there.
Correct.
Oof.
Spot on, absolutely spot on. Question 3, who did Perry score his final goal for Arsenal against?
Oh, now you got me. That wasn't on Wikipedia.
Less on Perry Groves on Wikipedia.
Yeah. I have to take a complete punt on this one. Let's go for Spurs.
It was Sheffield United.
It's rock hard, that was.
Final question. How old is Perry?
I hope I'm not doing a disservice. He looks much younger, but I'll say, I think 52.
Correct.
Oh!
Pulled it out of the bag. 75%, 3 out of 4. That's a very good showing.
Well, let's hope your questions are equally tough for the man opposite.
I'm worried now. Having exhausted the two major sources, I am deeply concerned about... I don't think I should have gone 3 straight weeks on Mark Overmars. I may have made a mistake here.
Time will tell. Okay, so, Russ, 4 questions of Mark Overmars. Week 3, here we go. How many goals did Mark score in Arsenal's 1997-98 Premier League winning campaign?
Oh, I'm just trying to picture them all from my in-depth research of the last 3 weeks. I am going to say 11.
Oh, it was 12.
Oh!
That's not bad for not being on Wikipedia.
Okay, as a famous quiz master would say, it's good, but it's not right.
Was he American? Was he?
I'm not doing an Irish accent, sorry. Okay, question 2. Mark scored his first goal for the club in a friendly against which side?
Oh, my God.
He has head in hands as we speak, Liam.
This glorious run is about to come to an end. I will say... Oh, let's just throw it out there and say it was controversially against Ajax, but I have a feeling it wasn't.
It was Stad Nyonnais from Switzerland. I don't even know who they are. Okay.
It's all over.
It is, but we've got to go through the motions because I need to know how many points you get. So, question 3... Who did Mark score his final goal for the club against?
Was it Sunderland?
It was West Ham.
Oh, God, this is all going horribly wrong.
And
horribly wrong.
Finally, you can't get zero, Rush. You cannot get zero. Mark scored the winning goal against Manchester United at Old Trafford in 1998. But what minute did he score the goal in?
Oh, my God.
This is crazy.
72.
It was 79.
It was difficult to watch, to be perfectly honest. I'm not taking...
Never go for the three-peat of a topic.
I'm not.
It's the lesson.
I'm not taking
to
a lot of pleasure in this, to be honest. This is quite cruel.
So Adrian Clark wins 3-0. And Adrian, you're on to week 3 of Perry next week, so you know what's coming.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just doing basically a nod to the first team by having a hefty defeat to end the bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, it's not been a good weekend for you, Russ. Moving on now, Russell, we need a new specialist subject for you.
Let's move away from Mark Overmars and stick with the Dutch legends of the club, and let's go with Dennis Bergkamp and his time at the Gunners.
Okay, then. So we'll have some questions with Dennis Bergkamp for you next week. So, happy revision, guys.
Cheers, Liam.
I need it on the back of that, blimey. Liam, thank you very much indeed. Clarkie, it's been a pleasure.
Cheers, see you soon.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Adrian Clark, to John Cross and to Olivier Giroud for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and also find us on Acast these days. And don't forget to get your questions into Clarkie as well for the chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Monday, the 4th of September. And until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.